KPFT Artist Profile.
Hi, I'm Mel.
And I'm Ro.
We're from Shame on Me.
And you're listening to KPFT Houston.
Yo, reinhören. Die militante Veganerin. Ich habe eine Message für euch. Ihr redet über Ehre, aber was tut ihr den Tieren an? Lebt vegan. Guck mal, sie heißt Rosalinde, aber...
Bist du vegan für Rosalinde oder brutal gegen sie? Ja, du sagst, du willst Frieden, warum führst du dann noch Krieg? Hör auf deine Gefühle, frag dich, hat sie das verdient? Bist du vegan für die Tiere oder brutal gegen sie? Sprich nicht von Ehre während deiner Gewalt. Deine Ausreden werden langsam wirklich alt. Heuchelst Mitgefühl, doch hörst niemals ihren Schrei. Mit nem Messer in der Kehle ist ihr Leben jetzt vorbei.
This is, once again, Vegan World Radio here on KPFT, still broadcasting at 90.1 million hertz out of Houston, Texas, live on this Monday evening, 7 p.m. and change. It is the 10th of February, and we've been listening to a track by Rosalinda. My German's not great. Rosalinda, die militante Vegana, the militant vegan, and this relates to our subject tonight, which I hope y'all will find interesting, and it is veganism in Europe, eating vegan in Europe, differences between Europe and the U.S., the state of veganism around the world. And we hope this program is of interest to anyone who is maybe thinking about going vegan, but especially people who have never thought about going vegan, because one thing about radio is we can speak to people that didn't get fed this radio show by an algorithm. You just are listening because you're in your car, you turn this on, maybe you listen to KPFT for all the kind of interesting eclectic stuff, the unexpected stuff that comes up on KPFT, which is one of the things I love about it. Maybe you just found Open Journal really interesting. They do a great program. We're very happy to catch their listeners. If y'all haven't turned your radio off yet, please don't turn your radio off yet, because we hope this will be interesting to you and challenging. And I think that it's important to listen to people that you don't agree with and consider if they might be right. I hope that y'all will consider that in this case. And I hope that's something that I do as well. I hope that I also question myself and am not always confident that I'm right in my beliefs. And I think that we have too little of that these days. You know, it used to be, it seemed like the problem was identified that people needed to have more pride. There was the talk was always about pride and everyone having pride. I think we solved that everyone has a lot of pride now. Now what we don't have of is humility. And the humility to consider that other people may matter and not just you. And I think that if you consider the possibility that animals matter as well, is another level of humility. And would prevail upon y'all to consider that possibility. Because animals, in my opinion, are like children. They're innocent. They're vulnerable. They have a kind of intelligence. They have awareness. They experience the world. They live in the world. They can look you in the eyes. They see you. They can see, in many cases, especially dogs are really good at reading your emotions. You can have a relationship with an animal. Not just, you know this from having dogs and cats in your life, but if you open your experiences of the possibility of having that kind of contact with a pig, I think you would see that they are much the same as all mammals. Science has shown that their brains are much the same. I think you would see that animals grieve, that animals can know love, and that animals love the special people in their lives, and animals love their families. And so when a dairy cow is made pregnant, has a baby, and then that baby is taken away just so we can drink the breast milk that was intended for that baby, that is a crisis for that animal. And that animal feels sadness. They feel that acutely. And it's arrogance to just dismiss that and act like it doesn't matter. So please consider being vegan for the animals. You might also consider being vegan for your health. There's so much proof that it's very healthy. There's no cholesterol. If you eat vegan, you're not clogging up your arteries. It's not, I think it's oversold sometimes, like being vegan is going to cure cancer. It's not going to do that. If you already have cancer, eating vegan is not going to fix it. You might, certain kinds of cancers, I think you might be less likely to have, but you still can have certain kinds of cancers. Veganism does not help in any way with avoiding, what's that disease? This is where, I'm here by myself today, by the way. This is Petro. That's why I miss having someone to speak to that can pick it up when I get caught. So maybe I should talk to the only other person here, which I appreciate her being here very much. She is our board operator who is making this happen and pushing all the buttons. What do you go by on the air? What's your air name?
On air, I usually, well, that's an interesting question because to everyone here, I'm Blue. And okay. That's my real name, but anywhere else in the house, well, yeah, in school, Girasol. So, Girasol. Yes, I am the operations coordinator here at KPFT, and we are here listening to Vegan World Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, anywhere with internet connection, anywhere in the world, really, at kpft.org. And yeah, it's been so much fun and just getting to listen in and learn about the different programmers, but also just, you know, my Monday nights are really, really eye-opening, not only because we just got done with Open Journal, but getting this new perspective on how to think about the world I live in, the animals that I inhabit this earth with. It's quite an interesting conversation that you open up.
Well, thank you for thinking about it. And you, in addition to being the operations coordinator, I used to have your job a long time ago. We called it board op, but you probably do more than we did then too, because I think you're running more stuff now the way that it's organized. But you have a cool show too. Like, you're also a programmer.
Well, yes, I do. I co-host the show Living Art Wednesdays at 7 with Mike Woodson, and it's a show where we invite artists of different disciplines, anything. We've had poets, we've had art appraisers, we've had some of my friends that are musicians here and doing stuff in Houston. We've had different artists of you know, all kinds of disciplines. I think Mike's been doing it for 20 years or more than that. So it's just become a big catalog of Houston's local talent. And it's been such a blessing to be a part of that. That's one of the shows Wednesdays at 7, Living Art.
But there's another show that you're involved with, right?
There is another show I'm involved with. The other show is called The Houston Collective. And that's where it's sort of like a Tiny Desk concert series where we go back and forth with local Houston artists. We give them the chance to showcase their art, mostly musicians. We've had poets and we've had other types of artists on, but we give them a chance to showcase and perform. And then we also alternate between piece, interview, ask and get to know them a little bit more. And that's stuff that we record audio and video of. So you can find that on YouTube. We're starting to grow a little community of local talent that, you know, can elevate each other. So it's the Houston Collective, Tuesdays at 3 a.m.
Okay, 3 a.m, Houston Collective. But you can also listen to, like you said on YouTube and the socials. And
yes, we have so many avenues through which you can get connected with us. Yeah. And it's been so much fun. So we love scouting local talent and getting to know the heartbeat of Houston, the heartbeat of the music scene here and the art scene here. So that's anywhere you can look us up at thehoustoncollective.com. We are on YouTube at KPFT Sessions, and it's been such a fun couple months that we've been embarking on this project. And I mean, the people we've met, the people we've gotten to work with and interview, the stuff that we are growing with. So I mean, eternally grateful to KPFT and the platform that this provides for us.
So that's cool. So like Dwayne Bradley has often said, weaving the tapestry that we weave of all the diverse programs on this station. So that's excellent that you're putting some new threads in there.
Oh yeah, and I get to see it all. I mean, I get to the evenings, I get here for the, you know, the programmers that come in and have these different things going on. So it's just been such a great community that I think KPFT has been fostering, not only for over 50 years, coming up on 55, but that is still relevant in our community here, local to Caroline Street. You know, it's been great meeting everyone and working with and getting to learn and listen and see what they have on their shows.
So super cool. So if you're just finding KPFT right now, you know, considering listening at all different times and seeing what you find on the station, you know, a lot of it's going to be rock and roll and blues, but a lot of other diverse stuff out there too. And you can also go to the website and go to the archive and listen to all the different shows there. But the thing I got hung up on is why I was like, I need somebody to talk to. And I do appreciate talking about all the cool stuff you're doing too. But the reason, the thing that tripped me up was, what is the disease that you can get if you eat a lot of sugar? Like just tons of sugar.
Diabetes. There you go. See, it's a regular word, but we forget words sometimes. It's okay.
Diabetes. So unfortunately, veganism is not a cure-all, and the people that sell it as that, like a fountain of youth, there are things it's not good for. But the British government and other authorities have carefully looked into this, and their advice now has been for many a year now, is that veganism is healthy for all stages of life. So veganism is not unhealthy for anyone. Of course, if you eat, you know, pasta and nothing else every day, that's going to be unhealthy. You need a diversity of foods, but you can fairly easily get a diversity of foods of veganism that meet all your nutritional requirements. And it means you're not killing animals. And sometimes I think we should call it a low violence diet. It's impossible to have no violence. You know, driving your car, like, you know, you might hit a bird. So, you know, the occasional accidents, anything humans do, but veganism is as close as we can get to eating with kindness. So that's the reason for the show, the reason why the show is here. But for tonight's topic, we're going to be looking at Europe. And I tell you, my friends in Europe are freaking out right now about what's going on with our government. And I hope that most Americans are also freaking out about it. I fear that they might all be lost in the haze and the confusion. And I think the haze and confusion is deliberate. You know, the Trump people call what they're doing flooding the zone for a reason, because they're throwing so many things out there that this it's very difficult for everyone to keep up with it. So I want to mention something very briefly that has happened that is very closely connected to animal issues, and it will also affect humans, as we are interconnected. What affects animals affects humans. That whole COVID debacle came because of people abusing and eating animals, maybe researching on animals. If they any whatever it was, if they just left the animals alone, we would not have had COVID. Same with HIV, came from monkeys. If they left the monkeys in the trees, we would not have had HIV. Well, emerging diseases are a continuing problem from animals to humans. That's where we get new diseases. And of course, we get new versions of the flu all the time. And when the flu is very different, it's very, very dangerous because your body may not recognize it as it would a version of the flu that's similar to one that you've had in the past. And so that's why there's all this talk about was swine flu. Now let's talk about bird flu. Because if bird flu ever mutates in a way that it starts spreading from person to person, it's going to be bad for everybody. It could maybe have a low death rate. Maybe it'll have a very high death rate. You know, COVID's death rate initially was 20%. And we're very fortunate that it rapidly evolved to now it's like less than 0.5% or something, less like 0.02% or something. But it's a roll of the dice when these diseases jump from species. And so it was very important work that the government was doing of tracking the spread of bird flu from people or from animals to people. And that was something that our brilliant new leadership has so wisely decided to just throw in the bin. They've shut down the research that the CDC and the other parts of the federal government were doing to monitor who was catching bird flu from animals and to monitor whether bird flu was spreading between people so that we can have some warning, and also studying those specific viruses so that if, God forbid, it becomes something that starts infecting the human population, they'd be that much more quick to come up with a vaccine, come up with a treatment. So the brilliant, just ask him, what was the phrase that he used for himself? A very stable genius.
Yeah, right.
has just shut this down. And so the CDC no longer monitoring bird flu in the United States. Unfortunately, the United States is not the whole world. And he pulled us also out of the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization funding is being saved by European donations, European governments stepping in. They're already paying a large portion of the World Health Organization in the services that they do to protect us from diseases and pandemics. And stepping in lieu of the money that the very stable genius also pulled from the World Health Organization. So I want to talk a little bit about Europe and in the European perspective. You know, after World War II, I wasn't there personally, but, you know, I heard about it, that the right wing was very fairly discredited because, you know, they kind of screwed everything up. They tried to take over the whole world. You know, it was kind of a mess. And so, like, nobody wanted to go back to having the right wing for a long, long time. And in fact, like, basically never. So up to now, like, Europe is like kind of what the United States would have been if, like, the Democrats had been in power. Maybe the Democrats, it had been Democrats versus the Green Party or something, like, for the last 70 years. And so they have seen the fruit of investing in their people in a way that we haven't. So they have a much more educated population. They have a much more sophisticated population. I've noticed in Europe you see a wider range of magazines. You see more people just reading in public. They've kept alive and expanded their train networks. There's the possibility of cycling. Everyone in Europe gets lots of paid time off. In Germany, it's mandatory if you have a full-time worker that you have to give them 2 weeks of paid time off when they start. And then over time, they get more. So, like, people that have been to work job for a long time, they'll get a month off every year. And so it is for that and many other reasons, they all get medical. They don't have to worry about their medical. Yeah, they pay taxes. But if you look at studies, it's actually not that much more than what we're paying now. Because in the United States, they keep cutting taxes for the very rich and then just shouldering the taxes that still need to be paid onto the middle class. So although the United States has a much larger share of very poor people that don't pay any taxes, but the middle class here is not paying that much less in Europe, and you're getting way less in services. So Europe is just, it's a happier place. The people are just happier. You know, I mean, humans find a way to be frustrated with any circumstance, but there's something called the World Development Index. And when they look at the World Development Index for European countries, those numbers are much, much higher than what the United States scores on. And yet, I feel like one of the problems here is that people in the United States, it's a big country, it's expensive to leave this country to go to Europe or to go to Asia because you have to cross an ocean. So I feel like the United States is very insular and it doesn't always... Not many people have a good idea of what's happening elsewhere. And yet, is that really an excuse? Because when you talk to people, I just went to Amsterdam for about a week, had a real quick trip over there. I'm very lucky, very blessed that my dad is a retired airline pilot. And even though I don't have a lot of money, he put me on the list so I can get free standby tickets. So that's awesome. So I've been able to travel the last couple of years. And so I was in Amsterdam recently and talking to them about all the stuff with Trump and everything. And they're universally outraged and worried about this country. And you talk to this people, the guy that works at the convenience store, like the guy that works at the hotel, like ordinary people. And it's like, I swear every single one of them, like they know all the details. They know about the 5-4 break on the Supreme Court. Like they know about the question of whether Trump is becoming an imperial president. Like they understand about, you know, the two conservative Democrats that held up most of the Democratic priorities under Biden, and why, you know, Biden was unfairly blamed for those conservative Democrats, like blocking most of his agenda. It's like they know so much more about the United States than we know. The United States knows about itself or about anyone else. And so it's very sobering. And I personally feel that in connection with that, that I think that obviously not everyone in Europe is vegan. Being vegan is still a minority in Europe by a large degree. But it is a larger minority than it is here. And I feel like here, like the vegans in Congress, they're all Democrats. The vegans, I think the studies show it's something like 8-1. Vegans or Democrats versus Republicans in the United States. So I feel like it does go along with like thinking about justice and thinking about fairness. And it does go along with this worldview of taking care of each other and being loving towards each other. And it is contrary to the worldview of dominance, of like having a strong man, having a man in charge. And Europe, having been through that, they're just not that keen on it. And so they're seeing so clearly the parallels between what's happening here in the United States to what happened not only with Hitler, would be the extreme example, but you can also look at what's happening in Hungary with Orban, what happened in Poland. Thankfully, Poland got rid of their Trump person, Duda. What's happened in Brazil. Brazil also went through kind of a Trump deal with Bolsonaro. They were able to throw out Bolsonaro and get their democracy back. In India, they still have basically a Trumpy, you know, racial demagogue running things in power there. And the Europeans are watching all this, and they're like watching the Americans and saying, like, what are you guys doing? Why aren't you guys waking up to this? Just like climate change. Like the Europeans are making real changes to reduce their carbon footprint, and China actually is as well. Where is the United States in that? And even under the Democrats, they couldn't get hardly any traction with the climate change legislation. And veganism ties directly into all of that, because if you don't eat meat, your carbon footprint is hugely smaller. Because if you think about it, you eat an animal. You to get that animal to you, they had to feed that animal for its whole life. They had to pipe water to the animal. They had to not only slaughter the animal, but then like ship the animal to you. That's all takes carbon. Everything that we do in the way that we run things right now on this planet puts carbon dioxide into the air, and we have been changing the composition of our atmosphere in to a measurable degree in the math of the way that heat enters the atmosphere and is held in by certain types of gases, it's unavoidable. They realized originally the reason why the climate change was likely to happen with carbon dioxide was when planetary scientists started looking at Venus and Mercury and Mars, and they're like, why is Venus so hot? Like, it's a little bit closer to the sun, so it gets more energy. But, I mean, Venus is so hot, when they send a probe down to Venus, at best, it gets a couple pictures out before it melts on its surface. The Soviets sent a couple probes down that were able to do that. But it is much hotter than it should be just purely from the heat that gets from the sun. And that's because there's a dense layer chemical, the kind of chemicals that will hold in the heat in that atmosphere. And so the heat comes in and not that much of it goes out. And so we're pulling a blanket over ourselves with our carbon emissions. And it is a crisis. We may make this planet uninhabitable. At a minimum, we're already seeing places like Central America having increased refugees because they're having extreme droughts, unprecedented droughts, people not being able to grow the crops that they used to grow, in parts of Africa as well. And we're also seeing the erratic weather affecting us here with the wildfires and affecting certain crop failures, encouraging diseases to spread. I was just reading the other day that Florida is down. They've lost 92% of the orange production that they had 20 years ago, and that's because of this one particular bug that is doing well in Florida, partly because it's unrelentingly hot there. It never gets cold enough to help with the bug. Many other impacts are all around us. And so doing anything to change our climate impact is critical. And I feel like the people I talk to in Europe that are vegans are very much aware of that. That's very intentional. Particularly in Germany, the young Germans, Germans under like 30, I think like 20-25% of them are vegan, which is extraordinary. And it's for the animals, but it's also for the environment. And if we can make this planet, not make this planet uninhabitable, that's going to be good for all the people and all the animals as well. So, all this stuff, I would ask anyone that's listening to this show to do their own research, to go check it out, to see what you think. Look at the real science, man, though. You got to turn off that social media stuff. Look at the legitimate science that does not have an agenda. Science is a project of getting past people's biases. Originally, back in the day, with the Enlightenment, science had to overcome the bias of religion. And people had to admit, like, hey, all the evidence shows that the Earth goes around the sun. I'm sorry that, the church has been saying something different all this time. Doesn't matter what anyone's opinion is. Doesn't matter what society's common view is. The facts are the facts. And it's frightening because it feels like in the United States that we've lost that. And I'm obviously not, and most of this, I'm not telling y'all anything that you don't already know, probably. You're not watching this for yourself. But I'm bringing it up to nag you to make the case for being vegan and for animal justice and for saving the earth, helping us continue to exist on this earth, and also having a planet where it's worth being here, having a planet where there's kindness. And I feel like in Europe, people, and there's nice people here too, but so many people here are stressed out. Like, we're all being squeezed. We're all being exploited. A lot of us are not doing well. A lot of us are under so much pressure just to get the bills paid, just to keep everybody housed. And it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be so extreme. In Europe, housing is much cheaper as well. Apartments are much cheaper. They have policies in place deliberately to make it affordable for people to live there. And for some reason, we have been sold. For some reason, we have allowed con men on the right to persuade us that being greedy is somehow going to work out for all of us. And at what point are we going to wake up and say, dude, we're all just being squeezed. We're all being exploited and used here. And I think the European model, the Western European model, is a much better one for people, for justice. And I'm going to get more into the vegan stuff here in a moment, but I did just want to make that case to you guys. And you know, you can have a car there too. You can have a large-ish house if you want. Yeah, maybe your house isn't going to be a mansion or McMansion, but you're going to have neighbors that talk to you, and you're going to have a city that you can walk around in and be less likely to feel like you're going to be murdered, because there's more of a sense of community and a sense of like everyone in it together. So I suppose I'm starting to ramble at this point, but it's something I've observed, something that's meaningful to me, and hope that you guys can think about it. Fact check me. See if you think that I'm right. Research it for yourself. Okay. Now, if you're thinking about becoming vegan, one of the best ways to like try out vegan food is to not by cooking yourself. Like don't just go buy a block of tofu and think you're going to go home with a block of tofu and throw it on the grill like you would a piece of meat, because it's probably not going to be that good. There are the vegan meats that you can do that with, the vegan meat substitutes. But, you know, learning to cook for yourself is an art, and it's something I used to be terrible at. Now I'm only, like, kind of okay at. So maybe consider, if you want to, for your baseline, if you want to see what vegan food is like, consider going to a vegan restaurant. And it's particularly fun when you travel, I think, because it can give you a reason to go to a place, because each place is going to have different vegan restaurants, different options at those restaurants, vegan versions of the local cuisine. And I think to highlight that, let's listen now to a short track. This is from the YouTuber How to Travel, and this person has gone through and studied some of the best places to eat vegan food in Europe. So this is How to Travel, Best Vegan Cities in Europe on Vegan
Hello,
World
everyone,
Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome Thank back you. To How to Travel. A new movement is sweeping through the medieval cobbled streets of Europe, and it's spreading like wildfire. Veganism is slowly but surely taking over the continent's cities, and it can't get enough. Gone are the days where a trip to LA was necessary to get your hand on faux beef burgers and plant-based cupcakes. An awakened meat-free Mecca is emerging right on our doorstep, and we're here for it. Here's our list of the best vegan cities in Europe. London, England. There's no better place to try your hand at veganism than in many cafes, bars, and restaurants dedicated to the lifestyle of the movement lining the streets of London. Home to one of the best vegan fine dining restaurants in the world, the capital city is bursting with the options for the compassionate eaters, offering veganized versions of everything from fried chicken to pizza, and even kebabs. Not only are these locations helping preserve the planet, they're also incredibly aesthetic and usually feature on the list one of the most Instagrammable places in London. Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Staying true to the vibe of this freewheeling, vibrant metropolis, veganism is surprisingly popular among the residents of Amsterdam. Proving that being vegan doesn't equal the picture of health, the Dutch capital is serving up some of the most incredible plant-based junk food that'll make you fall in love at first sight. Head to the vegan junk food bar for loaded fries and plants galore. For a more fine dining approach, book a table at the Terra's Inn Center for Japanese and Caribbean cuisine. Another opportunity to take stunning foodie shots. Amsterdam is the closest thing to a vegan holy grail if we've ever seen one. Warsaw, Poland. Rather unexpectedly, Warsaw is the dark horse when it comes to vegan options in Europe. Recently listed as a top vegan city, the Polish capital has over 40 vegan restaurants with innovative choices ranging from sushi, liquid nitrogen ice cream, croissants, and schnitzel. Stop by Veggie Miasto for traditional meals with a vegan edge, and Krowar Ziwa vegan burger for when you're feeling like a more casual feed. The surprisingly commonness of a vegan lifestyle in this city means you won't be charged an arm and a leg at these specialty restaurants. Paris, France. When you think plant-based, France isn't exactly the first country when it comes to mind with its rich emphasis on cheese and butter. However, Paris hopped on the vegan train and is moving full steam ahead. With almost 50 full vegan locations scattered across the city, there's plenty of places to satisfy your cravings and settle down for an afternoon of fine dining. Make sure to eat at Le Porgueux de Marais, famed for its menu and the breathtaking neighborhood it's set in. Paris has many vegan tours of the city, so you can scope out all the best spots before you make a reservation. Berlin, Germany. A dream come true for many vegan enthusiasts. The German city is truly the capital of Europe's cruelty-free cuisine. You'll be spoiled for choice, in Berlin with its plethora of vegan eateries, clothes shops, and grocery stores. Home to one of Europe's biggest vegan festivals, Veganist Summerfest, and a chain of vegan food stores. Vegans, it's safe to say that they've got it covered when it comes to plant-based food. Whether you're a full-blown convert or just trying to do your bit, Berlin is perfect as a place to go without any animal produce in style. Budapest, Hungary. Rapidly racing ahead of the curve when it comes to animal welfare and environmentally conscious activities, Budapest is the next stop on the tour of the best vegan cities in Europe. Kickstart your health cleanse with a dip in one of the city's outdoor thermal baths and feed on your soul at Vegan Love. If you're a more traditional Hungarian dish doesn't compromise your beliefs, take a seat at the Nap Finesse restaurant, where veganizing local dishes is their specialty. Hosting monthly vegan pop-up markets, opening artisanal vegan cheese shops, and testing the waters with veggie burgers. This Eastern jewel is well on its way to becoming Europe's vegan hub. Prague, Czech Republic. Typically known for its meat-based dishes, the popular weekend getaway is defying all expectations and venturing into veganism. The recent influx of tourists from all walks of life has encouraged the gothic bohemian city to cater for all, resulting in a thriving vegan scene to rival the best of them. Eat Czech bakken dumplings at Plevel, and get your snacks at Puro, and see the city in a new light at one of the I Like Veggie Walking food tours. Step out of your comfort zone and dive headfirst into Prague's plant-based scene. You won't regret it. Gothenburg, Sweden. Sweden's second largest city is jam-packed with trendy cafes, shops, and bars, most of which we will have one vegan option on the menu. Not solely focusing on the food, Gothenburg is taking its environmentally conscious attitude to its clothing brands, and even hair salons. Go shopping at Thrive and give your wardrobe the awakening it needs, and afterwards book into the Echo Lynn Salon for a cruelty-free haircut. Have dinner with the city view at a raw food restaurant, open new doors, and grab a snack for later from Happy Vegan Food Shop. In this forward-thinking city on the sea, the possibilities are endless. Barcelona, Spain. Impressive architecture and stunning beaches aren't the only things that Barcelona has going for it. As one of Europe's most visited attractions, Barcelona has tons of vegan gems waiting around every corner. Forward-thinking when it comes to compassionate eating, the Spanish city has a great variety of places, from raw food at Petit Brat to fried options at La Trocadero. If you're traveling with meat eaters, eat at traditional tapas restaurants and order escalivada or pa amb tomaquet. The Catalonian capital actively serves and encourages meat-free eating once a week, so hop on aboard and ditch the jamming for the weekend in Barcelona. Milan, Italy. Italy has a lot more to offer than just pizza and pasta. Milan's thriving vegan scene deserves more recognition for its innovation in chain restaurants, promoting a plant-based menu. Home to the first vegan restaurant in Europe to win a Michelin star, the city is no stranger to this lifestyle movement. That brings us to the end of today's video. Do let us know in the comments below if we missed something.
And y'all are still listening to Vegan World Radio here on KPFT. Thanks to the YouTuber How to Travel for that set of piece of information. But we are now welcoming our regular co-host, regular guest, regular friend, associate, esteemed person. He is a longtime vegan activist. He's a man of great character. Very manly man, a man who is a paragon among humans, unlike me, who's a junk food vegan, and as this person regularly reminds me, is probably overweight. The man who is about to join us is all muscle. He is lean. He is joining us straight from, what kind of workout was it?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Wade Gonsolin is his name, by the way.
That's right.
Welcome,
that's
Wade.
Right. Thank you for calling me regular.
What manly thing? Oh, yeah. Vegans are very regular, right?
Yeah, that's right. I am very regular. That's the first thing I noticed when I went vegan is I was much more regular, but that's kind of gross. Anyway, yeah.
But what manly thing were you doing that you couldn't join us at the beginning of the show?
Well, I practice martial arts, and when I moved to Savannah, I started training in a new system. And it just so happens that we have to meet Mondays and Thursday nights. But I was able to get here in time, so I'm good. All's good. I'm in pain, major pain, but I'm good.
Well, we appreciate you joining us under in your suffering.
No big deal.
So you lived in Europe. So just first of all, Europe, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, definitely thumbs up.
How many thumbs up then?
Well, I only have two, but I'm sure Michelle will put both her thumbs up. She loved it. I mean, that's where we met, and we both miss it. We really miss it. We've been back in the States a little over a year, and yeah, there's a lot about it we miss. Really is. It's all of Europe. It's almost like a giant amusement park for adults. I mean, it's just a totally different world.
It's so damn nice. It's like built for people, right?
It is built for people. And no matter where you go, it's like a pedestrian society. People are walking around. People are nice. They're civil. There are a lot of nice people in the U.S., a lot of nice people.
Yeah, but you'll never meet them because they're behind a car wheel. And we're all in like this Deathmatch 2000 situation trying to get where we're going.
That's right. We've all reduced each other to survivalists. And of course, with the advent of the internet, we've also reduced each other to avatars and algorithms. And it's just, things are different here. But I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm glad to be back. But I really, really miss Europe. I really miss the people there. It's a very different experience. And I highly recommend anybody to travel there and stay a while if they can, because you really kind of need to live there for a while. If I could recommend anything, it would be for everybody to go and live somewhere in Europe for 1 year, just 1 year. And it would profoundly change your neural pathways. I mean, it's just a great experience. I love it. Loved it.
Profoundly.
Profoundly.
And as a vegan in particular, like what, how is Europe for vegans compared to the U.S.? Compared to Texas, and now you're in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia.
Uh-huh. Veganism in Europe is very easy. When I first moved there, I was living in Limburg for the first 3 years. And all the restaurants, you can find vegan food pretty much everywhere you go. The grocery stores are full of vegan food. You know, here in the States, you'd be lucky to find a section, but over there, you find a whole wall of this stuff. And the attitude there is very opening, and it's very open and welcoming to vegans. And no, it's very easy to be vegan there. Very, very easy.
So what would you find in, 'cause you lived in Germany, right?
I was in Germany, yes.
So what would you find in a German grocery store that's vegan that you wouldn't find here?
A lot of your basic ingredients you can find here, but they're much more creative in the other stuff. You know, I mean, even as vegans, because of the way we were all raised as children, we still sometimes miss the meat because we sort of grew up with it. And right. So we've come up with ways to simulate it and simulate it, excuse me. And they just have a lot more of those options over there. You know, just vegan cold cuts and vegan chunks of beef and all of these things that are, one of my favorite things was this little jar of totally vegan tuna fish. And it was the strangest thing. You would not know the difference. If you were not vegan, you could totally eat this and you wouldn't know the difference. And I loved it. And I have not been able to find it here. And sadly, I don't think trying to order it would be very good, because it has to stay cold. So, you know, uh-huh.
Well, that gets,
yeah, there's just a lot of choices over there. A lot of choices, very easy.
Well, do you feel like, I was, before you came on, I was arguing that the higher number of vegans there might be tied to like having like a higher awareness of like a higher sense of justice, like a sense of fairness, and just having more awareness of what our own impact is on the world, or just facts about what's happening in the world. Like, are they, mm-hmm. would you confirm or deny my assertion that on the whole, Europeans are more educated, more aware, more knowledgeable, more fact-based, however you want to say it?
Well, I think it's not that they are more aware or knowledgeable. I think it's just that we here in the U.S. are just more uptight, and we're more concerned with winning arguments, and we resist change because there are some in our society. I mean, roughly half of America, you know, believes that it has to be right. You know, it doesn't. No, people don't like to be preached at or told what to do. So over here, people are very protective of themselves. They're very protective of their opinions, and it's harder to open someone's mind over here. Whereas over there, it's just not a big deal. I mean, it's being vegan over there is just, oh, you're vegan? Okay. And they'll actually be interested in it. They may never be vegan, you know, but
so whoever you're talking to. So you think an American would take being vegan as like a challenge to like their worldview? Like, you're going to ruin the planet. You're going to ruin America. You're going to take away my burger. Like, you want, you know, all the boys to be gay. And like, all of a sudden, yeah. It's like, you know, this extreme polarization.
Yeah. Well, that's the key phrase I take away. You're going to take this from me. That is the big fear over here. And our whole society is really based on it. I don't want to climb too much on that soapbox, but you've known me for a few years.
This is KPFT. This KPFT is a soapbox. So, I mean, you're already on the soapbox. Okay. So we're standing on a soapbox together. So.
Let me ring my Zen song bowl of truth before I say anything. Okay, if you don't hear that, then it's lies. It's all lies. This is my qualifier.
I didn't hear it. Was there a bell?
You didn't hear it? Yeah. I have my.
Man, there's
it's like a little.
There's no reality anymore. Like, cell phones like filter out everything that they don't think is a voice. So it's like you're not even really hearing like the sound on the other line. Like,
you think Meta is redacting my song bowl?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're working on it. They're working on it. Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted your train of thought, though.
That's all right. I get back on a train. I think here we're so wrapped up in not changing and being threatened that anyone might suggest a change. You know, there are some people here who are threatened just when they see someone else changing without even, you know, being approached. Hey, maybe you should think about changing this. You know, they're just threatened by the very fact that anybody is changing, you know? So it's this big thing over here. And in Europe, one of the first things you recognize is the higher level of civility over there. There's not as much naked aggression. I mean, I'm not saying that there are not aggressive people there. There certainly are, but it's just not the same. It's not bred into the society that we must all be aggressive and we must all be 10 seconds away from starting a fist fight. And, you know, don't you dare suggest I change anything. They're just not like that over there. They're very open, honest people, and they're very welcoming. And, you know, if the lifestyles don't mean anything, if you have a strange lifestyle or you're vegan or you're from Mars, it just doesn't mean that much over there. They would not understand the big deal that we make about it here.
Well, that's interesting because that's such a different take than the way I was taking it. And you've lived there longer and you've been to more garden parties. And
yeah. Yeah. It's just that they're not uptight. Yeah. They'll laugh at how uptight we are.
Okay.
They will. It's just different.
Well, that's different. That's an interesting take. I would like to see how uptight you are. I sent you a series of pictures that have some lyrics. Did you receive that?
I did, and I did read through them. I don't think I could access it while I'm.
Oh, you don't have it.
On my phone now.
You couldn't.
It's on my phone, and I'm holding my phone. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you couldn't look at that at the same time.
Oh, let me see. If I lose you, then it's because I'm a total dork with technology. Hang on, let me see what happens.
So these are. If you want to look at the green one first, these are lyrics for a song that I think we should sing together.
Oh, we should sing it together now?
Yeah, we should sing it together on the air right now.
Okay. Well, do we have a melody?
Well, yeah, we're gonna sing along with a recording.
Okay, let's go. I'm ready. I got it.
Okay, you got the green one?
I got the green one.
Okay.
Cue it up.
Here we go.
We eat our plants.
All right.
We eat our fruits. We eat our nuts and seeds and grains and good whole foods.
But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and
turkeys and lambs or deer. We don't eat pigs. We're vegan here.
We don't wear suede. We don't wear fur. We don't buy wool or silk or down or leather, no sir.
No, we don't wear cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs, oh dear. We don't wear pigs. We're vegan here.
We love our pets.
We treat them fair.
We treat them fair.
We love our cats and dogs and fish and give them care.
Give them care.
Cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs, oh dear. We don't hurt pigs. We're vegan here. I'm trying to do that with a German accent.
We eat our plants.
German this time.
We eat our fruits.
Let me find it.
We eat our nuts and seeds and grains and good whole foods. But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs or deer.
We don't eat pigs.
We're vegan
here. We're vegan here.
No, we don't eat pigs.
Yeah.
We're vegan here.
Okay, now it's going to get faster. Stay on the green one.
Okay.
We eat our plants, we eat our fruits, we eat our nuts and seeds and grains and good foods.
But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs or deer. We don't eat pigs. We're vegan here.
We eat our plants.
We eat our fruits, we eat our nuts and seeds and grains and good whole foods. But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs or deer. We don't eat pigs.
We're vegan here.
Vegan here.
We're vegan here.
We eat our fruits.
We eat our nuts and seeds and grains and good whole foods. But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs or deer. We don't eat pigs. We're vegan here.
We eat our plants. We eat our fruits.
Nuts and seeds and grains and good whole foods. But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs or deer. We don't eat pigs.
We're vegan here.
We're vegan here.
Oh, God.
We're vegan here. Auf Deutschland. Yeah.
There's no child behind. Yeah. I was going to try to sing it in German, but he started moving too fast.
Okay. Well, we can play it again. Are you ready?
Okay. Let me see if I can remember my German. Go ahead. Play it again and not too fast.
We eat our plants.
Yes.
We eat our fruits.
We essen und Obst.
We eat our nuts and seeds and grains. But we don't eat cows and pigs and fish and chickens and turkeys and lambs or deer. We don't eat pigs. We're vegan.
Wir sind vegan hier. Okay, so I don't remember the German word for turkey. So.
No, das ist gut. Sehr gut.
Sehr gut. Nicht so bad.
Okay. Well, I wanted to completely surprise you with that with no preparation because I thought it would be funny. So.
Oh, hey, anything. I can take anything. Anything.
Okay, we have very few minutes left. So what would be the key fundamental things that you would like to say to the world about veganism in regards to Europe? Or animal rights. I know you did animal rescue in Europe, right? You worked at animal rescue facilities. Yeah. And what would you...
I did. I worked at the Wildtierstation in Dalborn, Germany. They rescue wildlife, and it was the best job I ever had. Loved it.
And you guys had like that whole Anne Frank, because I went over there and you showed me, and you guys had like that whole Anne Frank situation where you were hiding raccoons in the attic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Raccoons were considered pests, and they're evasive, and you're not supposed to rescue them. And so we were keeping them as refugees. Yeah.
That's cool.
And they were very fat. They were very fat.
And have you ever kissed a porcupine? Not a porcupine.
No.
A hedgehog. Hedgehog.
I have kissed hedgehogs when they're small and they're not too spiky, but once they get to about 6 weeks, you can't really pick them up anymore without gloves. Hmm. I found out that the hard way.
Well, we have 2 minutes. Is there anything you really would like to say about this subject?
Yes. If you're thinking about going vegan, just try it. Just try it, because the best thing that happens to you is how you look at yourself in the mirror when you go vegan. Because animals weren't here for us to use. They're here to share the world with us and teach us a thing or two. And you never know an animal as well as you do when you go vegan and change your relationship with them. Everything changes. Everything changes. Best decision I ever made.
Do you think that a society where veganism, that thinking, maybe you wouldn't even need a word for it anymore. It would just be like, there's no word for people that don't steal. Like, there's no word for people that don't kill people. But if it just became what people do, do you think that society would operate differently than the one that we live in today, particularly in America?
Well, of course. We wouldn't be dealing with so much cognitive dissonance. You know, if we made some kind of massive breakthrough to where everybody was vegan, by the time we had gotten to that point, a lot of other problems would have been solved, because we were simply moving in that direction. So I think it's about unteaching ourselves the faulty teaching that we grew up with.
Which is that we have to do this for some reason. Like sometimes we're very loving and kind, but then other times we have to be these absolute bastards and cutthroats, literally cutthroats.
Well, So in some cases, yeah. In a lot of cases, I think it's just that people are raised to believe that their bodies really do require animals, that we really do, like, we are omnivorous and we are supposed to be eating them in order to be healthy. And if they're believing that, then of course they're going to feel attacked. You know, if somebody suggests they go vegan, or somebody is sitting at the dinner table who's vegan, they're going to feel threatened. They're going to feel confused. So I think there are people who genuinely do love animals, but they're living this cognitive dissonance because they're also believing that they must eat them. And I don't think these people are bad. I think they're just sort of victims of institutional thinking that started. I mean, when was the food pyramid created? Back in the 20s or something like that?
And, you know, thankfully, at some point they said they took out the one part that says you one quarter of your meal is meat and one quarter is dairy, and they find, well, maybe you could eat some other proteins. And actually, the dairy is actually bad for you. And well, we've run out of time, Wade, so thank you for being on the show. It's so much more interesting with you here than me just talking at too much length. But we appreciate everybody that's been listening to this show, and everybody that supports Vegan World Radio. We are a nonprofit. Think about us in Fun Drive when it rolls around here. It's coming up the next couple of shows, I think. And thanks for listening. Thanks for what y'all do out there. Thank you. Why am I saying thank you so much? I don't know. We're listening to Rosalind, the Militant Vegana, as we go out.
Schwachen statt den Gewalt anzutun. Nicht richtig. Die militante Veganerin. Nicht richtig. Die militante Veganerin. Hört mir zu.